Wavervation Wednesday. Something I started a little over a year ago here on Anchor. And originally, I started as a place, exactly, Kitty, a place for a conversation without any reservation on a particular topic. That was when we could easily go back and forth with audio. So, today, I'm just chilling. Got a project to work on. The Beaumont Emergency Center is... I'm wrapping one of their SUVs down in... it's down by Houston. Beaumont, Texas. And I sent a proof off last night, but I didn't have really any feedback on what they wanted on the design, so... Sometimes you just have to push out a first design just to get something to them so that they know what they want by seeing what they don't want. So I just found a couple of cool medical type images, one of the little medical staff and a cool little brain image, and made a cool little background and threw their logo and address and information on there. And now I got some updated information of what they want so I can make the changes and get out a new design. Well, on the virtual reality front and also gaming front, I've been doing a lot of gaming lately. Found this little game called Crossout that I've been having a ton of fun on. It's a little post-apocalyptic Mad Max world, crazy vehicles that you can build from all these different little parts. And what's so cool about that is the way that the physics and everything works in the game. When you shoot off the little parts, they fly off, and if you build a vehicle wonky, like I saw this guy that had built a really short vehicle, he had his cannons on top of the vehicle, and he had a bunch of stuff out front to protect him, protect his cab and whatnot, and that got shot off. And then he tried to fire a cannon on somebody and boom, it flipped his truck over backwards. Just sitting there phasing the sky. But what's so neat about that game is that in the process of building those different little vehicles, it's given me so many different ideas for other projects I have for my little bicycle, solar, mobile studio platform. Lots of really cool ideas have been coming to me on that. And starting to get the hardware together to be able to build the different pieces. And I've been working some more, familiarizing myself with 3D and VR, 3D modeling. There's a new little program called Google Blocks that just came out that allows you to 3D model in virtual reality. And it's still a little bit wonky. You know, you'd think, oh, it's going to be so much easier with just hand controls, but and you have some interesting little things that happen, like difficulty of judging scale without any reference material around you. Sometimes it's difficult to realize how big something is. So I think what I need to do when I go into a space like that is create some standard blocks, some pieces that I know what size they are, so my brain can put everything into relative scale. And scale is interesting because you can totally change your scale in that environment. So something that is going to be a piece of jewelry, you could create the size of a house. So there are some really interesting advantages to working in that environment. Well, that's the end of this wave. I will be back with another wave, another little segment here on my station to, well, I'm going to be pushing this to a podcast. So do I call it a podcast? Do I call it a segment? Do I call it a station? I don't know. This is kind of getting rambly, which sometimes I do. But I've got some interesting stuff to share in the next little wave about a little trip down memory lane and, makes me realize some of the things I do today. That's all for now. Alois Degard is out. a trip down memory lane. Wow, wow, wow. My Uncle Keith, Keith Westmoreland, used to work at Jim Russell Racing Driver School at Laguna Seca. He shared this photo. He had gotten Tommy and I a Jim Russell Racing Driver School jacket for Christmas that year. And then Tommy and I came out to visit him, and this photo was taken, and we all had a little Jan Bikas pin on our jackets. And Jan Bikas is a IndyCar driver from back in the day. He was also an instructor there at Skip Barber, Jim Russell Racing Driver School. And, yeah, that was when Jim Russell was back at Laguna Seca. That would have been late 80s, early 90s. That's probably around my sophomore year in high school, I think it was. Sophomore, junior. No, I think it was around my sophomore year, looking at that photo. So I was around 16, I guess. 15, 16. Yeah, he was still working at the Skip Barber, so that was after the Boy Scouts. Yeah, because he used to be an executive scouter for the Boy Scouts. And then he quit there and went to work at Jim Russell Racing Driver School and went through their racing school and did a bunch of driving himself. And he was very influential in helping foster Tommy and my own passion for racing and for cars. You know, we grew up with a family that had a body shop, and on my dad's side, he had a Volkswagen shop, so we just, it was cars, 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 cars. And now I have virtual cars. You know, I was telling my Uncle Keith that I'm going to try to record a session. I finally got iRacing set up with the 410 sprint cars that we used to go watch at Tulare and out at Hanford. And oh my lordy, those things are fun. 410 cubic inch V8. I think they're around 800 horsepower and weigh around 1,000 pounds. And you can literally rip a wheelie. So I'm still getting the controls all tuned in, because I've got a 900 degree steering wheel, but the turning ratio of the sprint car is much different. It's much narrower, so I need to figure out, I need to look up and find out what that actual ratio is, and then put that in there, because it'll actually map the ratio onto my 900 wheel, and then that way I get more of a one-to-one. I tried it, I dropped it all the way down to 410, and that was too much steering to get back and forth, so I put it at around 508, which 500 degrees seemed a lot better, but I'll just look it up. I'm sure there's some info on the information superhighway. I'd find a little exit with my gopher. Oh man. Yeah, around that same time was when CompuServe was out, because I remember my uncle was living at in Spreckles, where I eventually ended up for a while. And he had CompuServe, and that was the first time I ever got online, was there in Spreckles. That was, wow, man, what a trip down memory lane. So I'm still extremely passionate about cars and race cars, and love driving virtual cars now in my little VR toy car. Ooh, so much fun stuff. So much fun stuff. Having such a fun summer. All right, that's all for now on this segment of the Aloistic Artist Life of a Creative. Having fun and following my joy. Aloistic Artist out. last night. I finished off my project for Croc Wraps. Did a little transferring of a project from one vehicle to a new vehicle. Basically continuing out a fleet. There's probably 5 or 7 vehicles altogether. But they trickle in 1 or 2 a year. So, little project, got paid for it. And, Boots and Pants, a.k.a. Blazing Hero, my friend Jared. He and I started playing this game. Well, I backed it on, I think it was Kickstarter. It was either Kickstarter or right after they came out of Kickstarter. I think I went through their page. Anyway, I backed this game called Star Citizen, and then the developer from that said, hey, check out this game called Elite Dangerous. And it was this guy, David Braben, who built this game in 1984 on the for the BBC Micro. And it was a open-world space game, space simulator. And it had these really cool little simple vector-based graphics, so it was able to run pretty fast on that really, really simple machine. Well, fast forward to 2012, and he has a software development company. He's built a few versions of that game, and he's decided to rebuild it with all the new technology and really flesh it out to the full extent of his imagination. And so he put together this team, and they built this program or this game called Elite Dangerous. And Blaze and I played it for a long time. I played it on the just on the 2D screen, and then it was one of the very first games that had full VR support. And I played it with the Oculus first developer kit, and then when I upgraded to the developer kit 2. I played it with that for a long time, and then now I have the HTC Vive VR headset, and so I'm able to play it on my PC with my friend Rourke, who now is using my DK2, the Oculus headset. And but Blaze is a console player. He has PS4. He prefers the controller. He's of that really generation and just loves console playing. And so we were waiting and waiting and waiting for Elite Dangerous to finally come out on the PS4. Well, it came out about a week ago, and I thought, man, as soon as I get some money, I want to get that game. And so last night I was able to get that game for Blaze and myself, and we went out, and he immediately wanted to go into combat, and I'm like, we need to learn how to fly first, because he couldn't even make it through the advanced combat tutorial. And so I said, well, let's go do some hauling first. And we ended up doing some different hauling routes, and we found a place that was like 4 or 5 light years away, and we were just jumping back and forth. And then comes around about 2 o'clock in the morning, he was like, man, I gotta go to bed, I'm done. And so I was like, I might do another run or so. Well, I played that thing until I don't know how long, but I've got 1 million credits already saved up. I remember the first time I played that game, it took me, oh gosh, probably a couple of months, 3 or 4 months to first earn my first 1 million. But I love playing it on the controller. The way that they did it is really intuitive. And the more I played it, the more my muscle memory built in to where I had to think about it less, and I could just enjoy the flight and the way that the game flows. So got a new little fun game of space to fly around in. So, that's my 3-Wave Wednesdays. here's an update on the electric vehicle builds. I've got many different little ones that I'm playing around with. I've got my little 250-watt, 36-volt electric scooter that my neighbor gave me that's all torn down, trying to figure out what I want to do with that one. No, that's 24-volt system. I just picked up 3 36-volt 4.4-amp-hour battery packs that are essentially packs for the little hoverboards. So I was thinking about getting a little hoverboard to play around with, because that would be the cheapest electric vehicle at $79. And then I saw this awesome little video the other day on, well, a couple of things. One was a how to build your own electric skateboard. And because it occurred to me the other day, electric skateboard's really nothing more than an RC car that doesn't turn. And I know I've said this a couple times on this channel, but when I looked into it more and saw how inexpensive the different little components are and how it's the same exact concept as a car, but just in a much smaller scale, I got really excited, because it's all starting to come together and all the different components are finally coming down in price to where it really, really makes sense. So instead of having to pay $1,500 for an electric skateboard, I can build my own for under $500. Which seems like a lot for a skateboard, but what I'm essentially doing is buying a skateboard and then electrifying it. So I don't think it's going to actually cost that much. I've already got the batteries, so that's one of the more expensive parts of it. The other thing that's been exciting is the development of the way I see the little mobile studio coming together, because I'm constantly building and rebuilding in my mind and seeing different ways, and I end up running a lot of the experiments, you know, in my mind, and actually travel with it and see how it would work, and then I go, oh, no, there's this flaw, I need to go back to the garage and work on it. And so instead of wasting a bunch of materials and building it and going out there, I do a lot of mental experiments and run tests that way. And it's getting really refined. That's the cool thing. And now with these new tools, I'm finally starting to learn some 3D again, and I'm looking forward to being able to visualize these out loud so that others can see them, because visualizing them in my head and translating them with words is like a long, awkward pause, because there's such a gap between what I see and what words are able to describe, because I know that the interpreter on the other side is trying to use their filter of imagination, and sometimes it doesn't translate quite as well as visual imagery. I think that's why I like to be a visual artist, because I can create things from my imagination. It is a beautiful day indeed, my friends. Wouldn't you say, Aya? Huh? Wouldn't you say it's a beautiful day, Kim? She's just chilling here. Purr, purr, purr. She was gone for a couple weeks, off on some adventure. And then she decided to come home.
Yep.
She does that. She'll be gone 2-3 weeks, come back for a month, off again. And she's so quiet, she never tells me what she's been doing. I was telling Rourke I want to put a little camera and track her on her and just see where she goes for a month. It'll be an interesting stop motion video. Aya the cat.